Hello and welcome to the Waffle Zone. I am your host, Uncle Steve, and this week we're going to talk about music and podcasts and going to thank people for their audience participation and just have some good fun waffling chat like we always do. Now this week, I've had Kirsty on a lot. I have Matt on. I've had a few other random people, but this week I have a very, very special guest on. If you've listened to the podcast very long, you know there's something called Iron Maiden Stories. Well, the Iron Maiden Stories had to start somewhere. And this week, I have Iron Maiden Story Installment 1, the very first Iron Maiden story I've ever done. I have that guy on the line with me, so welcome to my podcast. Like there's anyone here clapping or anything, I'll clap. I have Brandon from Kentucky on the line with me. Brandon, welcome, man. How are you?
I'm good, Uncle Steve. How are you? It's a pleasure to talk to you again.
Brandon's here.
Yes, sir. Doing this.
Man, I know, but I appreciate you coming on because it's cool. Man, I've been around the block with these Iron Maiden stories, and I do, you know, I've almost got 50 of them out right now. And recently, and I know I told you this, I tell people about, you know, I've done 50 of those, blah, blah, blah. It never seems like very many to me. I never think, oh, it's a lot. But I remember when we and you talked a month ago or whatever, and I was telling you, and I remember when I told you, yeah, there's been 49 or whatever. So, and I remember as soon as I said it, I thought, this guy was the very first one. And now I'm on Numbles number 50. And it made me really think because you're so far back in it. So,
very much so. It's an honor to be amongst the first there.
I was talking to my wife about it earlier today, and I said, you know, when I did that, I had no idea that there was going to be anything to it. I didn't know. It was just going to be, I'll do a few of these episodes because you're just trying to throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks and if people want to do it or whatever. And I got a good, you know, reaction. But man, I was telling Matt the other day, I was like, that you were going to be back. And he goes, it'll be really cool to hear from Brandon, you know, because he was the first guy. And I'm like, yeah. So really, thank you for being here, man.
Hey, it's an honor, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Before we hit the real record button here, we're talking about when Brandon first emailed me and how, you know, he found the podcast back in, because we recorded your episode. I looked at it. It was in May of 2020, so almost three full years ago. And the first email that Brandon sent, it was like, oh man, I saw you did an episode about Kiss, and then I saw you did an episode about Wasp, and you know, I had found you by looking up Iron Maiden. He goes, then I start looking, and then I see you did something about Alice Cooper, and I love Alice Cooper, and I'm like, holy crap, this guy's. And I mean, I was reading the email just the other day again, and I was like, it's really I've met a lot of people that like Wasp, but you were the first one that came along that was like, man, I love Wasp too, man. They're one of my favorites. So cool, man. So cool. So okay. So I'll get us going here because, like, you know, I'll talk. So let's, what we do, and I know you know, we'll talk about first the music we've listened to this past week, any albums you listened to. So what albums did you listen to in the past week, Brandon?
I shared some stuff with you. I had some personal things going on. So
sure.
Kind of let the satellite radio do its thing. I have a little trick to work a few minutes where I could listen. And I listened to the first album from Danzig, self-titled.
Oh, nice.
Danzig. It's always a classic, like old Glenn, a lot of classics on there, Twist of Cain, She Rides, and so forth. Listening to your podcast last week, not to put the cart before the horse there, but it was about your show in Vegas with Wasp, and I listened to the debut album from Wasp.
Ooh, very good.
Which is, yeah, always, there's just not even, there's no filler, there's not a bad song on that record at all. And again, with the theme of your podcast, got me with So Far So Good So What. I bet I've listened to that album three times in the last probably 2 weeks.
Nice.
It's so fast, so quick. And I didn't know a lot of stuff about that record until to your show. Okay. And I won't get sidetracked on that, but that's I forgot how good that record really was. I wish it was longer.
Yeah. I agree.
It's Ghost. I listened to Message from the Clergy. I guess it kind of ties in with the Alice Cooper. It's not really what you expect when you see their album covers and stuff as to what you get. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but I listened to Message from the Clergy from Ghost, and I really enjoyed it. And then following on, Eddie Trunk had Ace Frehley on last week, that whole rebuttal thing with thing he threw out to Paul Stanley and whatnot. So I had listened to Second Sighting, his second record of Frehley's Comet.
Yeah,
I forgot about that record. I remember the first one pretty good, and I thought, you know, what else did he do under Frehley's Comet? And that was a pretty good record. It was a different time.
Yeah.
And he was out and sober and had something to prove.
Sure. I don't know if he was sober, but he had something to prove.
Man, you know, and I don't, yeah, exactly. You know, and it won't get on that, but I thought of the same thing when he was on Trunk the other day. I was like, huh, sounded a little.
That's what a lot of people were saying. Yeah.
I haven't, Steve, I haven't even had to look at it, but I just knew that as I'm listening to that live, I was actually out doing some yard work, and I thought, man, I think social media is going to probably rain down some grief on this guy, because he was all over the place, bless his heart, but been to do some things, I guess.
You know, you mentioned the Frehley's Comet album. I really like the other guy he had singing on there too, Todd Howarth.
Yeah.
You know, he did like some of the more ballady. He did like one called It's Over Now. He did, I'm trying to think of what there's a certain song. It's man, you know, I have not even looked or listened to that album in ages.
The first album?
No, the second one.
Second Sighting.
Second Sighting. I'm gonna look it up real quick. Here we go. I just want to see what's on that album, because I remember the drumming. Not drumming. Time Ain't Running Out is the second song, and that's a song that Todd sang, and I love that one.
Okay, yeah.
Insane, Dancing with Danger. It's Over Now is the ballad. Fallen Angel is another good one that Todd Howarth sings.
I like that one. It's probably my favorite album on that song. Or it's probably a song on that album.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good album. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, like you said, it's of its time. But yeah, I really like that one back in the... I saw Ace on that tour opening for Maiden.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the Seventh Son tour in Dallas.
Get out of here. I'm sure that was an awesome show. Oh.
It was cool because, you know, my first show was Kiss with Ted Nugent. My second show was Maiden with Frehley's Comet. So it was like both shows had a Kiss element to them. So
would that have been maybe like 88, maybe?
Oh yeah, definitely. It was in July of 88.
Oh yeah. I think it was like March or maybe the spring. I think that I didn't know any of these songs from Second Sighting. I don't remember any of them. If there was videos or anything like that, I must've missed them, but I don't remember any of those songs. And so it was good, you know, for what it was worth.
It says it came out in May of 88. So, yeah, that fits. Okay.
It does. That's about it on the music, you know, other than one-off songs, you know, here and there.
Sure, sure.
A couple of podcasts I did. You had mentioned, I forgot that Jim Florentine even had a podcast.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that a month or two ago. And so I've been tuning into him every week.
Oh man, yeah.
Everything's awful, and he's kind of the same shtick every week, man. But I could listen to it. I don't know why.
It's so funny.
No, he's just so His and you ever his show, the Metal Midgets, is a pretty good little show on the XM channel. If you ever get a chance to check it out, he plays a lot of deep cuts and things that I've never heard before. Yeah, if you ever get a chance, he plays a lot of stuff. I catch a lot of older bands that maybe weren't really big or what have you. And he's got some good taste in music. I did the two. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for turning me on to that, by the way.
Well, yeah, he was on another podcast one day, and I listened to it because it's a podcast I like, and I like it. I'll listen to it when he has somebody I like on it. And so I was like, oh, Jim Florentine, that'll be interesting. And I listened to Jim, and I was like, oh, this is pretty funny. And he mentioned his podcast. I was like, hey, let me check his podcast. That's like every single week I listen to that one now too. So
yeah. Okay. Good. Good. But yeah, that's a good, the Two Bears in One Cave. So last week, Bert Kreischer was up here at Rupp Arena in Lexington.
Okay.
And I took a couple of friends to go see him. He had two guys that opened up for him. I don't recall their names, but they were absolutely hilarious. But I usually will tune into Bert. I mean, him and Tom Segura on the Two Bears in One Cave. And okay. then I listened again, like I said, the Las Vegas episode. I think it's 175.
Okay.
Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. And then I listened to a little bit. I had about probably 10 minutes left on the end of the So Far So Good So What episode. So I listened to that again as well.
Okay, cool.
So that's always good stuff. That's about what I had for the week.
Okay. Well, I listened to here. I'll do my podcasts first because I only listened to a couple. I listened to one called Riffwiser, which is a guy named Jesse that I know that I've met through the. He's done an Iron Maiden story. He has his own little podcast, and he had one called "How the Green Blade Rises," which was an Easter episode he did where he talked a little bit about going to church on Easter, and it was interesting. And then he had one called "What Effing Key Is This In?" And he had a guy. It's real short, but they're trying to play The Wizard by Black Sabbath. And they're trying to figure out what key the harmonica's in. So my response to him was, the harmonica is probably filtering through a microphone for vocals and has effects. As I said, that's my take on it. And he said, yeah, that's kind of what his brother-in-law was saying too. So, and then the only other podcast I listened to, which I don't know how I only made it to one other one, but I listened to Jim Florentine's Awful Dating Sites, which was a pretty funny episode. So, and music, I listened to four bands. I've been trying to do this thing where I use acronyms, but I have a. It's really gonna suck this week trying to do acronyms. I got two letter A's and a K and an L, so maybe I could say ALCA is an acronym. But first off, I listened to AC/DC. I listened to Powerage, however people pronounce it. You know, we had the episode came out last week, and I had to mow my yard one day, and I was just like, what do I want to listen to? I pulled it up, and as soon as I saw AC/DC, I was like, I think Powerage sounds perfect right now. And I just turned it on, and it's such an amazing, amazing album. And we'll talk a little more about that here in a little bit. I also listened to Kiss. They have a new live album out. They've done this thing called Off the Soundboard where they put basically a soundboard recording from a show, and they've done a lot of shows that are just kind of dull and boring where they already have either a live album or it's, you know, it's the new lineup that you can already hear now. It's just stuff that's, you know, they even did one with the old lineup, the original lineup back in the day. It's like, you know, we have a live two, I want something unique. And this one brought something really unique because it's a it's live in Poughkeepsie, which I never in my life thought I would say that right, because I always thought it was like Poughkeepsie. I just thought, you know, or if you say it like dough, Poughkeepsie, you know, but yeah. I've heard it said enough now, Poughkeepsie. In 1984, it's the only known recording, live recording, soundboard full show with Mark St. John. Who played on Animalize. And if I'm not mistaken, he only did two full shows with Kiss. So the fact that they got one of them on a live recording, I'm like, this is what this live series you're doing needs to be about. Things that are more rare. And they did one where it was Ace, Paul, Gene, and Eric Singer, which was interesting because that lineup was a very short-lived lineup too.
It was.
Yeah. And so that was interesting. This is also interesting. Both of those kind of left me feeling the same way, like kind of just blah. Like I was like, neither one of them is a very great album. This one, it was disappointing. I mean, I feel like Mark needed a little more time on the road with Kiss to get, you know, he definitely needed more time to get, you know, kind of in the feel of a show every night. And I didn't think his soloing, the tone maybe wasn't picked up very well, you know, or maybe he just didn't have a great live tone. I'm not sure, but it still was interesting. But my biggest thing on this, it was awesome to hear Eric Carr on a live album with Kiss. It's the first thing they've had with him on it. And his drumming was just off the charts back then. Oh, he's just powerful, powerful, just beating the crap out of the drums, man. He just was amazing. So
imagine if he'd have lived longer, man. He was an awesome drummer.
It's really interesting to think about what would have happened if he had, because you know, supposedly there's talk that he might have been getting kicked out of the band.
Because, yeah, I'd heard that as well.
So it's interesting to think about. But I mean, he would have still been in the rock world somehow, you know, and he might have been one of these, you know, he might have been the drummer like the guy that played with Damn Yankees, Michael Cardelloni. He's the drummer now for Lynyrd Skynyrd, and he's been the drummer for Lynyrd Skynyrd for 20 years. So that could have been a position that Eric Carr could have maybe filled. You know, who knows? But he easily would have filled in with somebody.
As great as he was.
So.
You know, yeah. I didn't realize, Steve, not to switch gears, but I had no shame on me. I just maybe 3 weeks ago, reading some Kiss stuff, I did not know that Mark St. John had passed. I had no idea he had passed.
Oh, yeah. He died in, was it 07 or 13? Yes. Yeah.
Actually, it was Trump talking about the farewell, if you will, tour again and Ace and all that stuff. And if St. John, anyway, I just didn't know that he had passed. Okay. And I don't know why I did not know that. I had no idea.
It's, you know, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, he was just a blip on the Kiss radar. I mean, Gene and Paul, you know, they talk bad about just about everybody. And other than Bruce Kulick and other than, I mean, hell, they talked bad about Eric Carr after he died, you know. Ace and Peter obviously get it. Bruce is the only ex-member. You know, Vinny gets a lot of that, you know, rightfully so probably, but the fact that, you know, he was, like I said, he was just a blip. He was there. It's so quick. It's just that he managed to be there when they recorded an album. They recorded a video. Yeah. And now he's immortalized even with a live album. So it's pretty wild. But
that is cool.
I it was neat to hear it, but I probably will never listen to it again. Other than getting like a couple of cool, fast versions of like Cold Gin and stuff like that, you know, I might listen to it again. I don't know, but let's see what else I listened to. I listened to an album by Alice Cooper this week. I listened to Da Da, which you'll be hearing a lot more about in a little bit.
Interesting.
And then this is the one that'll probably surprise people. You know, this is when I told you earlier that I go in these phases. And last week I was on the road and I got to where I was listening to a whole bunch of documentaries and things about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash and just their history. And I like Lynyrd Skynyrd, but they're a band that I only occasionally dive into. And so this last week I listened to their first four albums. The first one's called Pronounced Lynyrd Skynyrd. The next one is Second Helping. It just sounds like a country kitchen. Yeah, you want a second helping? You know? Yeah, and then
you say that here in Kentucky.
Yeah, and then the third one is nothing fancy here. You know, nothing fancy. Nuthin, nothing, nothing fancy. And then their final album with Ronnie Van Zant was Street Survivors, and you know, I enjoy all of them. There's some that I like more than others, and there's songs that it's really bizarre because to me it's almost, I'm like, this is, if I listen to country music, this is the country music I guess I could say I listen to. And I'll tell you, there was one song on I can't remember which album it was, but I swear it reminded me so much of a song that Zakk Wylde did on one of his solo albums, his acoustic solo albums. I was like, holy moly, this is like, I mean, it almost sounded like, I was like, God, this reminds me of something so bad. And I thought, that's really cool that he has that Skynyrd vibe. And I know he loves Lynyrd Skynyrd. So, but yeah, I listened to all four of those albums. I mean, I watched two full concerts. I watched a 75 show, a 77 show. Just, I've watched multiple interviews, documentaries, all kinds of stuff. Just almost to an obsessive point of where I like, if I go on YouTube now, my whole timeline is just full of Lynyrd Skynyrd stuff. So, but you know, it's so bizarre how that should have went differently. Why the hell they got on that airplane, you know, that had shot a flame out of the engine on the last flight before they got on. The fact that they got on it, the fact that everyone survived except those three members of their band and you know, a manager. a road manager, three members, and the pilots. And it's like, those three guys, I don't know if the three members of the band that died, I know they say Ronnie probably didn't have a seatbelt on. But it's like you think what could have been and what should have been. And I'm happy that they're still out there touring. And all of it started with Gary Rossington passing away recently. I kind of got to watching interviews with him. And you got to feel, you think about this, the most tragic event in his entire life, right? He's in a big, Leonard Skinner was huge in 77. They have a plane crash. One of his great friends, his singer of his band, gets killed. Two other members get killed. He's dealing with all that. Imagine for the rest of his life, every interview he ever does, he's going to have to talk about it. It came up in every interview. So,
Yes, sir.
It's bizarre that he had to deal with that, and it makes sense, but it's just sad because you're never going to get a chance. You're never going to get over it. So
no,
you never Steve, would. But it was
a pretty heavy burden to carry, right? I mean, for anybody.
Yeah, but man,
I would have been my waffle zone. 2 weeks ago was the same thing with the Rossington news, and I went deep into that. You know that I think it's the. I was all digital, but I used to have, I think it's three discs, that box set they came out with in maybe the early 90s, maybe mid 90s, something like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just Leonard Skinner's the name of it. And it's, if you've never heard it, it has a lot of, sample tracks and, studio cuts and things like that. But it's a lot of gold on there. It's a really, really good record. But how could you not, anybody, I don't care what your music tastes are. If it's country or heavy metal or even hip hop, I mean, there's some great, great stuff on, Skinner, especially their non-radio stuff is, they just have a lot of hidden gems that, the world should have, I wish they were bigger.
Yeah. I tell you, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day and I said, look, Iron Maiden is my favorite band of all time. But when I watched that, I think it's 1977. I can't remember where it is, but it's literally a full show. It's black and white. It's just, they sound great. I said, they do the three guitars better than Iron Maiden does. Everyone is doing something that really stands out. And I love Maiden and I don't have a problem with them having three guys, but I feel like they just, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I like Maiden's songs better, but, they don't utilize the three guitars in the best possible way, I don't think, at all times. I don't know how it could be better, but I just, when I listen to them, I'm just like, wow, this is like perfection with three guitars. They all have their own unique sounds, which Maiden does too. They have their own unique sounds, but it's just, I don't know what they do when one guy's doing a solo, the other guy's, they're all doing something that's noticeable and it fits. It's just, it's awesome. It's awesome stuff.
And they're very much on the same page, and they didn't have the technology and stuff that a lot of bands have nowadays. Those live shows, there's no dubbing, no backing tracks, anything like that. And they're just killing it. And it comes across in that, even if it's grainy footage, the sound usually still comes through pretty good. It's raw talent. And those guys were, I think very, don't get me wrong, they were hugely popular, by all rights, but they could have been even bigger. There was very, underrated talent as far as
and Ronnie Van Zant, he had a lot of attitude, and it very much reminds me of to a certain degree of Bon Scott, because Bon Scott had a lot of attitude and they were both great lyric writers. And I literally just got into these guys in the last 5 years. I heard the radio songs, always liked Freebird and Give Me Three Steps and, Simple Man and stuff like that. But when I dug in, quite a few years back, me and my daughter, we went and saw him on New Year's Eve. I want to say it was in 2018, December 31st, and at least got to see his show. And that was cool. And some of the new material that the band played that was not from the original band, I liked, but I haven't dug into any of it. So I don't know what the difference is as far as obviously his brother singing. And I think that's cool. So, but yeah, I was just in a, I'm still kind of in that Skinnered, if I get on YouTube and I see something like, hey, here's an interview with blah, blah, I'm like, okay, let me listen to this and see what this says and see what's going on. So,
Yes, sir. Well, while that iron's still hot, do yourself a favor when you're on the road there and check out that box set, because you will be very pleased. It's an awesome, awesome record.
Okay.
Great stuff.
Okay. We'll have to try to do that, man. Okay. So that's my waffling for the music. So next up is where we'll do what Blackie Lawless refers to as audience participation. And I will go through what the retweets on the podcast, the tweet quotes for the two episodes that came out, and then we will waffle on over and talk about what we're really here for, Mr. Alice Cooper, or Mr. Vincent Fournier.
There you go.
Yeah. So first off, the retweets from the AC/DC Power Age episode, Power Age episode. First off, I have Johnny B. 1966 in St. Catharines, Ontario, which is in Canada. The Scouser, David Laird in Liverpool, England. Now, this is a bizarre one. It's a lot of Lucas at Baza at Mastodon.cloud. Then there's parentheses C19 slash X5. I'm not really sure what any of that means, but... And in his location, it says, born and raised on Bunyarong land. So I have no idea what any of that means. Ron Kramer in Washington State. Now, this is a guy, I don't know if you've heard this recently, but this is a guy that's got a lot of nicknames. This guy's name, let's see, he's the official detention teacher of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. The Dave Murray of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. The happiest man in podcast land, Genmar Yutani in Chiba, Japan. Genmuri Yutani in Chiba, Japan. The next guy has a lot of nicknames too. I have Lord Andrew of Sussex, the Taskmaster, the Headmaster, the rightful heir of the British throne, the Weekend Warrior, Sonia's husband, George's dad, Andrew Whitnall, in or near Melbourne, Australia. And then, gosh, these nicknames. Then I have the administrator, the, why do I always forget? Kirsty's nicknames are the ones I forget. And she's always here to correct me. The administrator, the translator, and historian of the podcast, Kirsty in Perth, Australia. And then they got the tweet quotes for the same episode, for the AC/DC episode. The first one is Jesse in Illinois, and he says, the best AC/DC album ever for Powerage, which I concur, I agree. Next up, I have Ian White in Solihull, West Midlands. Ian is the Wish.com version of Matt. That's a fun joke that I'm starting to go with here. And I just came up with that one on the fly, so... next up, I have the Honorable Counselor, Sir Richard Holmes of the Ulster Unionist Party in Garvagh, Northern Ireland, the one and only official politician of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. Accept no imitations. And he said, there's a tweet doing the rounds about the best three album run by a band. Hard to Beat, Powerage, Highway to Hell, and Back in Black. I think... Let There Be Rock came out before Powerage, if I'm right. And if that's the case, I would say I would prefer Let There Be Rock, Powerage, and Highway to Hell. So, and he said, and all with the tragedy of a lead singer change. So that's a good point, though. He said, great episode again this week. Powerage playing in the Jeep. What's Next to the Moon is one of my favorites. Yeah, I love that one. That's a great one. And the last tweet quote this week comes to you from another official on my podcast, Brandon, the official dinosaur of Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone, Dean King. And he says, love that y'all discussed what I consider to be a very underrated AC/DC album. And I got to admit, when I read that, I just thought to myself, I never would have thought of it as underrated until his next line. And he said, it never had the hits or publicity of Dirty Deeds, Highway to Hell, Let There Be Rock, which makes total sense, and it totally makes sense. He says, but it's a brilliant blues boogie album. I 100% agree, by the way. Kicked in the Teeth is the best. So it's not very often that me and the official dinosaur really agree. So it was really nice to read that. And like I said, I thought, you know, it is underrated album, because I was like, I don't usually go for the like when I pick an album by a band, I try to go like deep cut or something that's not as popular. Like I did Metallica, I did Load and Reload, I did Judas Priest, I did Ram It Down and Turbo, I did Kiss, I've done Revenge, I've done Carnival of Souls. We're going to do Alice Cooper today. We're going to do a very underrated, unheralded, untoured, never played a song from album, criminally, Dada. So I tend to like to go for the deeper things. And so it makes me feel a little better because I was like, man, I'm just going to go for the best album they ever made. And I'm thinking that that's the consensus among everybody. But then I'm like, Highway to Hell and Back in Black are probably what people consider the best. So,
I would agree. I would say that that's probably the consensus. Yes.
Just because of popularity and all that, but
exactly. Exactly.
And so, I know I probably would have thought Highway to Hell as well until I, really dug into Power Edge at a certain point. And I think I'm starting to lean toward the Power Edge. I think I like that phrase better. But once I really start digging into that and I'm like, holy crap, this album, that one and Let There Be Rock, because Let There Be Rock, I think, has Let There Be Rock and A Whole Lot of Rosie. So, whereas Power Edge has Riff Raff and Kicked in the Teeth, and those are both amazing too. So,
those are great songs.
Yes, yes. So, that's the Queet quotes for that episode. And in the Waffle Zone, all we have are some retweets. So, let me read those really quickly. I got Johnny B, 1966, in St. Catharines, Ontario. The Scouser, David Laird in Liverpool, England. Ron Kramer in Washington State. The official detention teacher, Gen Maruyutani, Chiba, Japan. Jesse in the Riffweiser, Jesse in Illinois. Lord Andrew of Sussex, Andrew Whitnall in Australia. And last, and certainly not least, I saved the best for last, Kirsty Prince in Perth, Australia. And that is all of the retweets. That's all of the thank yous that I have. And I appreciate every one of you sharing, as always. And as always, it's great to have Brandon back on. So what me and Brandon are going to do right now is we are going to waffle on over. And you're going to get an earful if you have your druthers about you and you waffle on. You're going to get an earful about Brandon's favorite artist of all time, Alice. Wait, what was the, remember the live show he did where he's like, he says, when he says Alice, he talks about, I sound drunk or something right now. What, the Brutal Planet, the live recording where he has the little guy that comes out at the head and he goes, the sadistical maniac, Alice Cooper,
Yes.
So let's go talk about the sadistical maniac, Alice Cooper. Waffle on over.